Thank you. I'd like to take this time to welcome everyone to Webster Groves Baptist Church. We are glad that you've decided to worship the living Lord with us here this morning. First of all, we're happy to have Reverend Von Smith here as a guest speaker this morning. Appreciate your willingness to come and share with us, sir. This afternoon from 4 to 6, is that the right time? 4 to 6? Yes. Will be the trunk or treat. So come and we're trying it on a little different time this week. Anna's got a statement to make.
If you're going to bring your trunk and bring your car to participate, we'd love to have you here right about 3:30 or so that we can get everything set up before people arrive. So 3:30 for people who are bringing their trunk, and we'll give you parks. So we're going to try and pull our circle in a little bit tighter so that it's a close-knit community, and we're going to have a fire in the middle so it'll be warmer.
All right, so that's today, starting at 3:30 for those bringing trunks. You'll notice in your bulletin the flyer about the empty bowls, which is next Sunday. If you plan to go for that, that's what's being sponsored. All the proceeds go to the Webster Rock Hill Ministry. They do it first Sunday of November every year. Don't forget to sign the brown books. Register your presence. If you have any prayer requests, we would love to be able to pray with you about items like that. And probably one other note that kind of came to my mind a little while ago is next Sunday is a time change. So everybody work hard this week and prepare to sleep an extra hour next Sunday morning. Yay, yes. Let's prepare to worship.
Chapter 3. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen."
Now, if you're able, let's stand for the call to worship. God has called us to be people of love.
God in me is a serious God who believes in love.
Truly loving can sometimes be difficult.
Yet we are called to reach beyond the difficulty with compassion.
In all of this, God is with us, guiding and helping us.
Thanks be to God.
for God's faithful presence. Amen. And let's continue to stand as we sing out of the white pew book. We'll sing 101, As the Deer. We're going to sing all three verses.
Our first reading today is from Psalm 90, 1-6 and 13-70, a prayer by Moses, the man of God. Our Lord, in all generations, you have been our home. You have always been God, long before the birth of the mountains, even before you created the earth and the world. At your command, we die and turn back to dust. But 1,000 years mean nothing to you. They are merely a day gone by, or a few hours in the night. You bring our lives to an end, just like a dream. We are merely tender grass that sprouts and grows in the morning, but dries up by evening. Help us, Lord. Don't wait. Pity your servants. When morning comes, let your love satisfy all our needs. Then we can celebrate and be glad for what time we have left. Make us happy for as long as you caused us trouble and sorrow. Do wonderful things for us, your servants, and show your mighty power to our children. Our Lord and our God, treat us with kindness, and let us all go well, and let all go well for us. Please, let all go well. This is the word of the Lord.
And now let's sing hymn 472, Satisfied with Jesus. We'll sing verse 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
Welcome to a time of prayers of the people. Let's start with some items of praise or thanksgiving that anybody would like to share this morning. And we're thankful that he had safe travels and came back. And along those same lines, Jack, that you all have prayed for that had an infection in his brain, he's back to school full time. And then you all were so good to pray for baby Lola Bell the day that she was born. She is now 3 months old, and they didn't think she'd make it through the night. So every once in a while I see pictures of her on Facebook, and I am thankful for God's grace, but also thankful for a church that prays for little babies you know nothing of. So any other time things of thanksgiving or praise? Mm-hmm. That's very exciting. Full time. So, wow. Very cool. Tell them congratulations, and we're thankful for that. Anybody else have a praise or a thanksgiving? All right. Some things that you would like for the congregation to know about, so that even though your mutterings of your heart, whether they become words or not, you know God hears and addresses. But sometimes it's good to just share so that many people are praying as well. Is there anything we'd like to share with the congregation? Yes, sir, Ray.
I think it might be appropriate to understand who I am and where I came from, why I'm here. I came from Louisville, Kentucky. About 3 weeks ago, I officially moved, even though I still have a house, a lot of furniture and stuff there. I'm in my little abode from Garden Avenue. And only through the grace of the Lord has this been a smooth transition. It could have been a disaster. But it wasn't. It's been a smooth transition, and the continues. I don't know when all the boxes will get in our back, but I know how to move. Who knows how that works? But I've been led to this church. My daughter lives four houses down. That may have something to do with it. I don't know. But I feel comfortable with this congregation and with this location. And I have since the first day I walked in the door. So I thank you for welcoming me here and allowing me to be a part of the family. And I hope to be able to continue.
Wonderful. We'll definitely put that on our praise. Bill, you'll be having surgery this week, correct? A week from tomorrow. I know it's coming. November 6th. I do know that. I just can't keep my date straight. So we'll be remembering Bill as he continues preparing for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you thanking you for creating us, for sending your Son to redeem us, for forgiving us of our sins. Lord, you are a God of mercy. You are a God of grace. You are God who is persistent and continues to love us. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we bring to you these praises we've talked about today. We know that your hand is in our lives every day. Every Sunday that we come back together, we know that you have been guiding us and keeping us safe. Lord, we ask you to keep us under your guiding hand, provide healing, provide comfort. Lord, be with Linda Brown in the death of her brother this week. Be with them as they continue to grieve as a family and as she returns home. Lord, we ask you to meet the needs of each individual in this congregation. Lord, we ask that you open our eyes to the needs of people outside of our circle, that we may provide your love and your care for those. Lord, be with this gentleman who comes to speak to us today. May your love and your words pour through him. May our ears and our hearts may be open to welcome him and your word
today. Change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now let's sing hymn 605, Because I Have Been Given Much. Let's sing all three verses.
Thank you. Exodus 32, 1 through 6. After the people saw that Moses had been on the mountain for a long time, they went to Aaron and said, "Make us an image of God who will lead and protect us. Moses brought us out of Egypt, but nobody knows what has happened to him." Aaron told them, "Bring the gold earrings that your wives and sons and daughters are wearing." Everybody took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. Then he melted them and made an idol in the shape of a young bull. All the people said to one another, "This is the God who brought us out of Egypt." When Aaron saw what was happening, he built an altar in front of the idol and said, "Tomorrow we will celebrate in honor of the Lord." The people got up early the next morning and killed some animals to be used for sacrifices and others to be eaten. Then everyone ate and drank so much that they began to carry on like wild people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
Giving praises unto God and thanking Him for the gift that's called today. As you have shared and heard the readings, we do thank God for the gift that He gave all those who would love Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank God for the presence of His Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, our convictor of righteousness through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied upon each and every one of you. We do want to give honor to your humble pastor, Dr. Terrell Court, and his family, to each of the officers of this great church. Today, I am truly grateful for the opportunity as well as the responsibility of rightly dividing the word of truth. As you have read Exodus and heard chapter 32, I do want to share with you verse 1 from the Message translation. And it reads like this. It says, "When the people realized that Moses was taken forever, coming down off the mountain, they rallied around Aaron and said, 'Do something. Make gods for us who will lead us.'" That Moses, that man who God sent up on, who got us out of Egypt, who knows what's happening to him? If you would be so kind, it's my custom that as I stand before the people of God and we share in the preaching and teaching, that we go before the throne of God in prayer. Most holy and everlasting God, we come before you once more and again, thanking you for all that has transpired this morning. The wonderful songs that were sung, the scriptures that were read, the smiles and the handshake that were exchanged. As we come to the moment of preaching and teaching, we pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will give us victory over the enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. In the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray and we say amen. Again, you have heard the subject that we wanted to talk to you about this morning. Do something. If you would be so kind, it's a custom in my church that when I share what the subject is, I ask you if you heard me just to repeat it. So y'all don't have to excuse me. I'm just here for a handful of minutes, but I want to pray that I stay in the presence of the Lord for the rest of eternity. Amen?
Amen.
So you may get a chance to look at my ugly mug for a few more minutes, but I want to smile when the Lord sees me, and I want Him to be able to recognize me as I recognize Him. Amen? So if you would be so kind, look at somebody and don't look at them really hard, but just look at them. Don't look at them with a spirit of some type of nothing but hospitality. Everybody looking at somebody? Y'all still looking at me. I asked y'all to look at somebody that's in the congregation. Find somebody, look at them really nice and warm and hospitable, and say the preacher wants to talk about doing something. Okay, all right. Okay. So if I don't get all the way on where I want to go, at least you know where I wanted to start with. Amen?
Amen.
If I get lost somewhere along the way, just know that's what I wanted to talk about. I came here to talk about do something. And I snatched it right out of the context of verse 1. It is the utmost importance that we as ambassadors of Christ do something. In the climate of change, in the era of confusion, in the week by week, month by month that we have become spectators, we have become watching right before us. There are right now rumors of wars, and there are going to be more rumors of wars. There's going to be talk of chaos and confusion, disconnect and seemingly disinterest, distrust and distance away from God. In every aspect of life, you and I, as children of God, must be willing to do something. As children of the Most High God, the blatant attacks on the poor, the left out, the constant call to turn back the clock and to take back the country, even giving us, you and I, by tweeting, the permission to say Merry Christmas. Guess it's time to do something. Being a clarion call for you and I who are born again, baptized believers, to stand up and be a witness of the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the faithfulness of God, the truth of God. It's time that we who have accepted him as the author and finisher of our faith, that we do something. Amen? We have received a risen Savior who is alive. He's well. He's sitting on the throne of God on his right hand right now. And I'm so appreciative that when I fall down, when I don't make the mark, when I miss the mark, when I do things that I shouldn't do, that I have a Savior that's sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's interceding on my behalf both day and night. There's this idea that all of us have, you know, been really, really good. We don't mess up. We don't say the wrong things. We don't go to the wrong places. We don't get involved with the wrong things. But the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all missed the mark. Amen? And so when you realize that if it had not been for the Lord who loved the world so that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon him shall not perish but have everlasting life. This Jesus declared himself the way, the truth, and the life. This same Jesus who stood flat-footed, and I wish we could see him this morning, saying that no man can come into the Father except he come by me. Can you hear him say, do something? I can hear him this morning. If we want our homes to be like God wants them to be, we got to do something. If we want our neighborhood to reflect God's principles, we have to do something. If we want our community, even the state, even this little country, if we want it to recognize what God wants it to be, it's going to be the church that's going to have to do something. You and I, who have received God's love, his power, his courage, his unction of his Holy Spirit, are going to have to do something. And our relationship with God is going to have to be realized, is going to have to be recognized, and is going to have to resemble what the Word of God says. John chapter 13, verse 35. He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you demonstrate love one toward another. And what's impressive to me is that love is an action word. Love means you have to do something. There's this idea that I can continually say that I love God out of my mouth, but yet my actions don't line up with my words. Jesus says something to the effect, you love me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. And once the connection is made with my mind and my heart, my actions then actually resemble what God wants me to do. Can you say amen? Jesus said on one occasion when he was sharing comfort to his disciples in John chapter 14, around verse 22, Judas the betrayer had given Jesus a question. And he said, how will the world know not you? How is it that the world won't know you? And I'm paraphrasing now because sometimes I get off into reading the word of God and it just captivates my imagination. That Judas, who knew that he was in the camp, he was in the training seminary with Jesus. He was walking with Jesus. He was talking with Jesus. He would eat with Jesus. And all the time, not really know who Jesus was. He had an intention on what he wanted Jesus to do, but yet he couldn't understand how Jesus wanted to transform him. He met Jesus and he talked with Jesus. In verse 23, Jesus gave him an answer. He said, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make an abode with him. In other words, there is, if you in the text, you see there's some tension in the text. Jesus is saying, if you want to hang with me, y'all gonna let me talk. Can I talk? Y'all gonna help me now? I'm about done. I really am. I ain't got much more. But if you're gonna hang with me, then you're going to love my words, and my words are going to dictate how you operate. In other words, you can't keep saying you love me, but yet you don't follow my words. You don't do what I tell you to do according to my scripture. And Judas, being Judas, you know, we kind of heard what Jesus said. And Jesus said, let me pull some tension onto you. Let me show you what I'm actually saying. In verse 24, he said, he that love me not, keep it not my saying. And my word which I share with you that you hear is not mine, it comes from my Father. I only say what my Father gives me to say. I only do what my Father gives me to do. Judas could not comprehend that, and there's a lot of us sitting in a church house right now that still don't get what Jesus is saying. It's here when we can have an appreciation of the context that has been lifted up. Do something. Exodus 32. Verse 1, the people have gathered themselves, and their impatience for the man of God is revealed in the text. There is this gathering of mindset that are now approaching this handpicked, lifted up, plucked out, and separated for the service of God. Singled out and called upon as a liberator, as an emancipator, as a deliverer, of the children of Israel. They have become patientless with his performance. The text affords you and I as a glimpse of the mindset of the people who had experienced one of the greatest blessings that are recorded in the Word of God. They experienced physical deliverance, walking across the Red Sea on dry land. But now, as you and I, as casual Bible readers, can discover, they had not received spiritual deliverance. That they now are willing to walk away from the very God who made a way for them to walk across on dry land. They are now willing to turn their backs on a God who heard they cried. They are willing to walk away from a God who witnessed their suffering and their punishment. They're actually willing to walk away from a God who told Moses to stretch forth your rod. The enemy that has been chasing you, you will never see them again. They're going to be drowned in the Red Sea. I've witnessed your injustices. I sent you somebody who would take on the task of giving instructions, who would share with you guidance, who would speak to you in my place. In the text, if you notice, the people have seen that Moses has been gone for a long time. Moses been up on the mountain talking to God. The people could relish that he has a relationship with God, but in the message translation, it say that Moses been up there and he's been taken forever. He's been talking to God for a long time. It seemed like he should have been came down by now. Most of us have more patience with FedEx or with UPS or even with a text message from a friend than we have with God. Nobody wants to say amen. The truth is that you'll wait longer on your package to show up from FedEx than you will with a message from God. I'm a living witness. I order a lot of stuff online, and when they tell me my package is on the way and it should be here on this day, when I get home from work, I'm looking for my package. And if it takes 2 or 3 days, now I'm ready to call them back because I done paid them already. So you got to pay up front for they send you what you ordered. But most of us have yet to understand it's something special about waiting for God. He promised that those that wait on me, the Lord shall renew your strength. You shall mount up with wings like an eagle. You can run and not get weary. You can walk and not faint. Quickly, as we pull to a close to this conversation, the people had become impatient. And they rallied together to seek them a replacement. They are at the point of rejection, rebellion, and refusal to accept who God has selected to direct and provide for them leadership. Can you say amen? They now are in a mode of resistance, wanting to replace something that would be inferior to what was superior. There's nothing you're going to find on earth that's better than God. I heard a songwriter say it once like this. They say the best thing that ever happened to me was falling in love with Jesus. You see, Jesus won't smile at me when I'm doing right. Jesus going to love me when I'm doing wrong. Jesus will actually give me direction on which way to go. Do something. Somebody say do something. Y'all gonna help me preach whether y'all want to or not. Say amen. Do something. Do something. Do something. It's within the context that we can look at this text that the people called, the people gathered, the people cajoled, the people convinced Aaron, who had witnessed God's power, who had seen him for himself. He knew God's might. He knew and he had observed firsthand God's ability to do everything that God said he would do. Here is my problem with this story. And I hope that at this point you can grab yourself a spiritual mirror. That as we travel to the close of this morning's slicing of God's word, how is it that you can know how good God is? And yet folk can gather around you and rally around you and get you to walk away from who God selected to lead you. Aaron was actually the mouthpiece for Moses. Aaron was the one God selected because Moses said, I'm tired tongue. I can't actually begin to stand in front of people and eloquently speak. He said, you got a brother, don't you? Aaron, watch when he shows up, he gonna run and hug you. Y'all gonna embrace each other. And the two of y'all are going to perform what I want to perform right before Pharaoh. And I'm going to stiffen Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh ain't gonna want to let y'all go because Pharaoh has become accustomed to y'all service. And when I show up within the confines of this text, Aaron, how is it that it was so easy knowing how good God is? How is it that it was so effortless? How is it that he was so gullible to be a party? As the text said, he was willing to give up. We must choose the right, even when it seems like it's the hardest thing to do. Booker T. Washington says success waits patiently for anyone who has the determination and the strength to seize it. Great President John F. Kennedy said, one person can make a difference, and everyone should try. Jesus said, no man taketh my life. John chapter 10, verse 18. No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down of myself, and I have the power to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. On a hill called Golgotha, my Lord, my rock, my hill in which I lift up my eyes, knowing that all the help that I need is going to come from the Lord. While he was hanging on the cross, bloody, suffered, ready to die. While on the cross, they mocked him. They spit on him. They even said, in other words, Jesus, if you be the Son of God, do something. As they passed by, railing on him, saying, thou destroy the temple and build it up in 3 days. Save thyself. Come down off the cross. Saying he saved others, but he can't save himself. At the face of death, they wanted Jesus to do something. Can you now understand that when Jesus said, if any man gonna come after me, let him first deny self, take up his cross, and follow me. There is something for each and every one of us to do. Jesus, I'm so glad that he didn't come off the cross. I'm so glad that when he heard them talk and make mockery of him, that Jesus cried out to his Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, everything you sent me to do has been completed. He cried out, it's finished. He bowed his head and the locks of his shoulders, and he died. And I'm so glad that Jesus died for my sins. I'm so glad that I didn't have to count on church folk to die for me. I'm so glad that I ain't have to count on the mothers, the deacons, the preacher, even those who pray the longest prayers. I'm so glad that my master died for me. But I'm also glad that he did something else. See, on the third day morning, he got up with all power of heaven and earth in his hands. And I'm so glad that he hung around for 40 more days. And as Luke told us in the book of Acts, that as Jesus was talking with his disciples, they began to look up because Jesus took flight. He said, as he loves sin, someday he's going to descend. The question is, are we going to be found faithful in doing what God has called us to do? Because in closing, here's the revelation that the Lord said. He said, we got to work while it is day. For when night comes, and night is coming, and if you don't realize it yet, night is so much closer than it was to when we began this journey following the Lord. He said, let us work while it is day. For when night comes, no man can work. God bless you and may the peace of God be with you. And benediction. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let us stand. On behalf of the members of True Vine Missionary Baptist Church of Ferguson, I want to extend to you a hospitality and love and thanking you for permitting me to stand before you and my brother, Terrell, Dr. Carter. I call him Archbishop every now and then. But it's been a joy to be here. It's been a wonderful assignment. And I pray that you've heard what God was saying, not so much what I was saying, but what God was saying, so that we can be found doing something when the Lord calls our name. Amen? Amen. Most holy and everlasting God, we do give you glory, honor, and praise. And as we get ready to depart from this place to do whatever it is you would have us to do the rest of this day, help us to be mindful that you called us, you set us apart, you put us into the marvelous light, And now you're asking us, you're requesting us, you're making a command that we continue to do something that will bring joy to your eyes, a smile on your face, and that you can talk to the Father and tell him, I sent them out to do something. Now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide henceforth, now, and forevermore. And all the believers of God said, Amen.
Amen.
Amen.